Good morning and welcome. If you're visiting this morning, I hope you find peace and friendship with us, and please join us for tea and coffee after the service through in the hall, when there'll also be a light lunch for sale. We'll meet for prayers in the church on Tuesday and Thursday at 9:15 a.m. If you can, please come and join us, and if you can't attend, please hold in your prayers the folks in the community and especially those in Stonehouse Hospital. There's a board and session meeting tomorrow night, Monday the 20th of January at 7 p.m. The Church of Scotland have a safeguarding training event at Rutherglen United Reformed Church on Wednesday the 22nd of January at 7 p.m. And if you're able to attend, please speak to Douglas Thompson. Hope Cafe's on Thursday the 23rd of January, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. You're all welcome. The Burns Supper will take place on Saturday the 25th of January. The tickets are now sold out, but donations of raffle prizes would be much appreciated. And could you be in and seated for 6 p.m. please, and bring your own bottle? 6:30. She just told me 6. 6:30. Can be in and seated for 6:30 p.m. and bring your own bottle. The Guild Craft Night's on Monday the 27th of January at 7:30, and Night Church is on Sunday the 2nd of February, 7:30 to 9 p.m. Come for a little while of quiet reflection or stay until the end. A coffee morning starts back here at St Ninian's on Tuesday the 4th of February, 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And if you have your donation boxes for Leprosy Mission, if you could please pass them to Anne Cowan as soon as possible. Anne wants to send the money by the beginning of February, so if you could pass any money you have to Anne. The RVS and Stonehouse are looking for volunteers. Now, they do lunches at Lintock Gardens, at McLean Gardens, and they also do the trolley at the hospital, but it might only be once a month you would be needed. So if it's something you feel that you could help with, if you could please speak to Myra Pate or myself. If you even wanted to come along one day with some of the women and just see what happens, if you would like to do that, you could let us know. Can the Pastoral Care Committee meet after the service, please? Probably through in the hall, because I think most of them will be going through for their lunch anyway. So I'll meet you through in the hall after the service. The flower list for 2020 is still available. This is the last Sunday. So if you would like to donate flowers this year in memory or for a happy occasion, if you could put your name and your contact details at the appropriate date. If you know of anyone who's ill or in hospital or celebrating a happy occasion, if you could please let Anne Thompson or Margaret Patrick know. Gillian, it's nice to have you with us this morning. You've not been here for a wee while. Gillian's not been feeling very well, so bear with her today.
Good morning. I'll just shout. Welcome to church. Not a place, but an invitation. Not a building, but a way of engaging. Not a service, but a way of serving. Not an institution, but a path to adventure. And if anyone asks why or how, what does it all mean? Simply use Jesus' own words. Come, come and see. As with all our hymns this morning, we will stand if able. So let us join together and sing our first hymn. Glory be to God the Father.
Thank you.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. God of intervention and challenge, we are continually amazed by your readiness to defy conventions, to step out of an insular and limited context, to reveal the breadth of your love for all your people. You are not content just to pacify those who think of themselves as chosen or faithful, to make those within the church think of themselves as special. Instead, your compass of love is directed towards all. Jesus, challenge those who hear you to think differently. Broaden the horizons of our vision, even if this irks those of us who prefer cosy teaching. We are sorry for those times in life when we become too inward-looking, when we see the gospel as something to back up our own prejudices or sense of privilege. We are sorry for erecting safety nets which would protect our sense of the place we deserve to have within the sphere of your love, sometimes at the expense of others. We are sorry for becoming too critical of others and forgetting about our own faults and need for mercy. Lord, in your grace, forgive us and expand our sense of your goodness and love. Let us be inspired by the messages of Jesus and never tire from being surprised at how the gospel has the power to move us closer and closer to truth. And now let us join our voices together in the prayer you taught us to say together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our Bible readings this morning come from Isaiah 49, verses 1 to 7, and John 1, 29 to 42. Bob is going to read these for us. So let us listen as we hear God's word, which is read to us.
Israel, a light to the nation. Listen to me, distant nations, you people who live far away. Before I was born, the Lord chose me and appointed me to his servant. He made his word as sharp as a sword. With his own hand, he protected me. He made me like an arrow, sharp and ready to use. He said to me, Israel, you are my servant. Because of you, people will praise me. I said, I have worked, but how hopeless it is. I have used up my strength, but have accomplished nothing. Yet I can trust the Lord to defend my cause. He will reward me for what I do. Before I was born, the Lord appointed me. He made me his servant to bring back his people, to bring back the scattered people of Israel. The Lord gives me honor. He is the source of my strength. The Lord said to me, I have a greater task for you, my servant. Not only will you restore to greatness the people of Israel who have survived, but will also make you the light to the nation, so that all the world may be saved. Israel, holy God and Savior, says, to the one who is deeply despised, who is hated by the nations, and is the servant of rulers, kings will see you released, and you will rise to show their respect. Princess will also see it, and they will bow low to honor you. This will happen because the Lord has chosen his servant. The holy God of Israel keeps his promise. Our second reading is from John, the Lamb of God. The next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I was talking about. When I said, a man is coming after me, but he is greater than I am, because he existed before I was born. I did not know who he would be, but I came baptizing with water in order to make him known to the people of Israel. And John gave his testimony. I saw the Spirit come down like a dove from the heaven and stay on him. I still don't know that it was the one, but God who sent me to baptize with water. He said to me, you will see the Spirit come down and stay on the man. He is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen it, said John, and I will tell you that he is the Son of God. The first disciples of Jesus. The next day, John was standing there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus walking. There is the Lamb of God, he said. The two disciples heard him say, and they went with Jesus. Jesus turned, saw them following, and asked, what are you looking for? They answered, where do you live, Rabbi? This word means teacher. Come and see, he answered. It was then about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So they went with him and saw where he lived and spent the rest of the day with him. One of them was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And once he found his brother Simon and told him, we have found the Messiah. This word means Christ. Then he took Simon to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, your name is Simon, son of John, but you will be called Cephas. This is the same as Peter and means a rock. May God bless this reading of his holy word.
Morning, there's only three of you. Can you make a hello? I can't get out of here. I got in, but I probably can't get back out again. Right, who was here last week? Were you here last week, Mira? No? Were you? Right, well, good job I listened online, because Stuart never told me this, but I heard online that I have to ask you. He asked you to serve last week, is that right? He asked you to serve without being asked, that you had to kind of like second think what needed done. Bill obviously never done that when he was here. He never second guessed that the iron needed done, and he never done it. So did you do something, Mira? What did you do? Good. You got stuff for the Nathaniel without being asked? Good, get him. Yeah. Did you do anything for your mum? Your mum's kind of looking as if to say no. Did any of the congregation do anything? Oh, Fiona, what did you do? You started to the Sunday school children's dress without being asked, see? So I can tell Stuart that somebody listened to him last week, yeah? Okay. Right, well, today I need you to be eyewitnesses. Do you know what an eyewitness is? No? It's somebody that sees something that happens, okay? So what I need you to do is, if I say a word that means to see, okay, like see or saw or watching, right, I want you to make wee glasses on your face, okay? So we try that. See. Okay. Right, so if I say anything that's to do with seeing, I want you to make wee glasses, okay? So it's important for us all to keep up with things that are happening, and most of that time we get it from the news, although the news isn't really very good to watch just now with everything that's going on. But if we want to keep up with what's happening, we listen to the news, or we sometimes see it on Facebook. Well done, well done. So one of the best ways to keep up is by watching the news. A typical news programme may have several live on-the-scene reports. The presenter might say something like, Another car has skidded into the junction at the end of Stonehouse coming off of Candleside Toll. And anybody on Facebook will see that there's been like 8,000 comments on Candleside Toll. So we may send an eyewitness to see what is going on. So in this instance, we have sent John Mackay from STV to the scene. And John would say, "Thank you, Bob. I am talking to Lindsay Hamilton, who has witnessed the accident. So Lindsay, can you tell us exactly what you saw?" The eyewitness would then tell everyone what they saw. So Lindsay would tell you what she saw. It really helps us to understand what happens when we have an eyewitness report. Even though there was no TV during the time that Jesus lived, eyewitnesses were still really important. Oh, yous are getting slow here. Eyewitnesses were still important. One day, John the Baptist saw that Jesus was coming towards him. He said to the people with him, "Look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about. I didn't know he was the Messiah, but when I baptized him, I saw the Holy Spirit coming down like a dove. It came down and landed right on his shoulder. I saw it with my own two eyes. And I tell you, this is the Son of God." When the people heard John's eyewitness report, it helped them understand and believe that Jesus was truly the Son of God. Brilliant eyewitnesses. You can stop. Oh, there we go. Okay. Most people come to know Jesus by someone who has eyewitnessed what Jesus has done in their life. Perhaps that's parents, or a Sunday school teacher, or a minister, or a good friend. Maybe your parent or a friend or a teacher has mentioned about Jesus and you have asked to find out more about it because they are like eyewitnesses. These people that we talked about have given an eyewitness account of how Jesus changed their life. God wants us all to be part of the eyewitness news team. What would you tell Jesus, or what would you tell someone about Jesus and what he means to you if you are asked? Whatever Jesus has done for you, tell others so that they can know him too. And we'll have a quick prayer with the children. So let us pray. Dear God, thank you for sending your Son. Help us all to be witnesses to others that will come to know you and about your love as we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us join in saying now, "Will you come and follow me?" Thank you. Oh, Abby wants a hug. She's not sure. It's easy to get John the Evangelist mixed up with John the Baptist, especially when we read a passage from John's Gospel that describes John the Baptist as an evangelist. But that is what we have read today. In last week's reading, you heard Matthew's version of the baptism of Jesus. This week, our story takes us to the day after Jesus was baptized. John the Baptist noticed Jesus walking past him and points out Jesus as a Lamb of God to a handful of his own disciples. The title of Lamb of God only appears in John's Gospel and again in Revelation. Often we think of a lamb as a weak, vulnerable animal, ready for slaughter. This may be the impression we get of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. However, the Lamb of God is not something or someone independent from God. This Lamb reigns in heaven and will bring judgment on the wicked and secure salvation for the righteous. The Lamb was a significant symbol for the nation of Israel. A Lamb represented the continual process of God rescuing his people from oppression. When the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, God told the people to take the blood of a lamb and spread it on their doorposts. When the death angel came through the land to kill the firstborn son, if it saw the lamb's blood on the doorstep or doorpost, it would pass over the house and spare the child. Because of this story, the lamb became a symbol of God's faithfulness and deliverance. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He shed his blood so that we could be forgiven of our sins. There is a subtle pattern that runs through the passage which Bob read to us. It gives us three simple actions that point people to Jesus. First, John the Baptist notices Jesus. Second, he shares his experience with his own disciples. Then John invites his disciples to follow their new teacher. Andrew and the other disciples notice Jesus. They share time with him, and then Andrew shares his experience with his brother, Simon. Finally, Andrew invites his brother to follow Christ, and Simon is changed. He becomes Simon Peter. In the passage, John points his own disciples to Jesus. John knew that he was not the one to come. John could be seen as playing the role of second fiddle to Jesus. I'm sure we can all relate to having played second fiddle to someone, maybe that of a sibling, a peer, or a work colleague. In an orchestra, for example, one person cannot be the star of the show. An individual cannot play all the notes and cover all of the music. Others must provide harmony to make the composition of the music beautiful. We have had many folks throughout the years preaching the gospel. For example, John Calvin, John Knox, Martin Luther King, Billy Graham. But they all have one thing in common. They could not and cannot reach everyone. Notice, share, invite. Why is it that we find it so hard to think of ourselves as evangelists? Why are we so afraid of spreading the good news to others? Maybe part of our fear comes from the fact that we don't notice God at work in our lives. Think about it for a moment. How have you experienced Christ? How have you noticed God working in you or in the life of the church? How has your life changed since you met Jesus? And if you don't see God in your life, why not? John saw Jesus and openly declared, "Here comes the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sin of the entire world." That's quite a proclamation. But John had experienced something his disciples apparently had not, and he was eager to tell them about that experience. So John told them what he had seen: the Spirit of God coming down from heaven like a dove and resting on Jesus. John affirmed the identity of Jesus to these disciples. He said, "I myself have seen and have testified that this is the Son of God." John noticed. He saw with his own eyes, and he recognized what he saw. This was the Son of God, the one he'd been waiting for, the one he'd been preparing for. In order to notice God at work among us, we have to be looking for it. As John's disciples went after Jesus, his first words to them were, "What are you looking for?" They had noticed Jesus, thanks to John, but his question must have brought them up short. What were they looking for? What did they really want to find? Jesus asks the same question later in his ministry, when John sends messengers to Jesus from his prison cell to ask, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" After Jesus sends the messengers back to John with the words, "Go tell John what you see and hear. The blind see, the lame walk, and the poor have good news preached to them." Jesus goes on to ask the crowd, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? A prophet?" In other words, what are you looking for? How do you see God working around you? If we are to find God, to notice God working around and among us, we need to know what we are looking for. The direction of our gaze is important. We may be looking in all the wrong places, noticing all the wrong things, and miss the kingdom of God if we do not keep our focus on Jesus himself. Listening is paying attention to what you hear. There is sound all around us all the time, so we need to be careful about how we filter that sound, how we decide what needs our attention. The same is true as we look for God at work. We need to pay attention to what we see. God is at work now, just as he was when Jesus asked those disciples, "What are you looking for?" Their answer points to that second action, sharing. "Where are you staying, teacher?" they wanted to know. The day before, their allegiance had been to John the Baptist, but once he had shared what he had seen when Jesus was revealed to him as the Lamb of God, there was no going back. John told them everything he had experienced, everything he knew about Jesus. Their response was a desire to know where Jesus was staying, where he was living, where they could count on finding him again and again. They wanted to share in the abiding with Jesus. Andrew found his brother and shared the news with Simon that we have found the Messiah. Andrew noticed then, he shared. He told Simon his story, just as John had told Andrew and the other disciples the story of recognizing Jesus as the Son of God. What would be our answer if we were asked, "Why are you a Christian?" Maybe like me, you aren't ready to give an entire speech. But we do often have opportunities to share how God is working in our lives. Maybe we're nervous about sharing our faith stories because we've never done it. The only way to learn how to do something is to practice. When John the Baptist shared his story, he only needed a few sentences. When Andrew shared his with his brother Simon, he only needed one. We have found the Messiah. It doesn't take very many words to tell someone about the one thing that excites you, the one reason you like to come to church, or the one way you have noticed God working in your life. And when we share that good news, we want the person listening to us to come to be part of it too. That brings us to the third simple action, invitation. John the Baptist invited his own disciples to follow their new teacher when he pointed Jesus out to them, and he said, "Look, here is the Lamb of God I was telling you about yesterday." When Jesus caught them following him and asked what they were looking for, Andrew and his friends asked, "Where are you staying?" Jesus didn't tell them. He didn't bring it up on the Google Map app on his phone and show them how to get there. He just said, "Come and see." It was a little invitation, but it changed everything. Jesus invited them into his life, and they followed him home. Then Andrew invited his brother to come and see the Messiah, whom he had just met. And when Simon went with Andrew to meet Jesus, he was changed. He became Peter. It was a little invitation, but it changed everything. Christ invites us to invite others. It can be a little invitation. What is it about being part of this church that really gives you joy? Who do you know that might need some of that? Notice, share, invite. Jesus asks, "What are you looking for? Are you looking for grace and forgiveness? Are you looking for eternal life? Are you looking for an abiding and deep connection with the God who created you just so he could love you?" The disciples asked, "Where are you staying?" Finding Jesus means finding the one we can depend on to remain with us, to stay with us, to share life, and to change us through that experience. And together with Jesus, we can reach out to people who don't know him yet, people who are looking for Jesus, even if they aren't sure that God is the one they are seeking. And we can invite them to come and see Jesus at work among us, changing us, loving us, giving us life. Or maybe that person is you. Maybe you are the one looking for Jesus. Maybe you are the one who needs assurance that he is with you, that your sins are forgiven, that God loves you and invites you to become his own beloved child, to know the Word who became flesh. Jesus invites us all to come and see. Will we accept his invitation? Amen. Let us sing our next hymn, "The Lord's My Shepherd." Every minute of every day, God is making all things new, giving and giving and giving again. We are called to be part of God's work of generosity. We are called to give. Our offering will now be uplifted. Thank you. begun our journey from the manger to the cross, from the cradle to the grave. Lift us from darkness. Unstick and reshape our expectations from isolation to community, from scarcity to abundance, from death to life. May these gifts and the very breath and being of our lives uplift and uphold others, bringing us all into greater awareness of your preceding and providing presence. Amen. Let us sing, Lord, You Have Come to the Seashore.
Let us voice our cares and concerns, knowing that God is listening to us. Let us pray. Lord God, make yourself known to the people who come into our churches, or who pass by and sometimes wander, but have not yet come in. Make us better bearers of your life to those who need you but have never met you. True and living God, we want to know you more. Lord God, the world lurches from crisis to crisis, and there is much misleading and misdirecting. Help us recover the natural sense of what is right and just, honest and good, so that our hearts are inclined to hear the voice of your leading and respond to it. True and living God, we want to know you more. Lord God, help us to take you more seriously, our responsibility of helping one another forward into faith as brothers and sisters. We pray for those in our own families whom we would love to bring to know you, and for those who have drifted away. True and living God, we want to know you more. Lord God, there are some who are going through very distressing, painful, and worrying times. We stand alongside them now and ask for them your comfort, your reassurance, your healing, and your peace of mind. True and living God, we want to know you more. Lord God, even as we pray now, there are those journeying through death. We pray for them, for all who have recently died, and for all those left without their loved ones, grieving or numbed with shock. True and living God, we want to know you more. Lord God, we thank you for all those who have directed us to know you better, and for the way you are drawing us closer into friendship with you. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Our final hymn, And Can It Be?
Thank you.
May we go into the world and live the invitation. We have found the one. And then may we invite the world, the whole world, to come and see. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore.
Thank you.